Jesus loves variety. He loves variety. And I start to understand what Paul meant when he said there are differences of operations, diversities of gifts, but it's the same body, it's the same Lord, it's the same Spirit who works all things together. We're different from one another. We're called by the same Lord, same purpose, same squad. And let me give you a little nugget of knowledge. God reserves the right to use people you don't like.
G.K. Chesterton said, "We do not want, as the newspapers say, a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world." Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzik continues to explore what God wants for his church by examining his squad goals found in Scripture. Before we get into that, we want to share about a resource that will help you share some of the hard-to-understand truths in the Bible.
We all have loved ones, neighbors, and coworkers who simply won't accept the gospel that saved you. The Connection has designed a special package of Skip Heitzik's messages for you to give them, titled, What You Want Them to Know.
I suggest a revolution this year in our walk, in our worship, and in our witness.
Can God be known? What's heaven like? And Jesus in the Age of Confusion are just three of the 10 full-length messages by Skip on CD in this package. You'll also receive Skip's booklet, New Year's Revolution. All this for a suggested donation of $30 or more. This tool could bring change in your family, neighborhood, school, or workplace.
So let the revolution begin, and let it begin in how we treat other people. And let's begin in the church.
Order more than one of the What You Want Them to Know package now. Visit connectiononline.org/offers or call 800-922-1888.
We want to see people come into a relationship with the living God, and the way we come to know Him is by knowing His Word. We've made the teachings on The Connection available in the U.S. and all around the world to accomplish this goal, and you can help us take this broadcast further. Make a one-time donation right now on your phone, tablet, or computer. Call 800-922-1888 or visit us online at connectiononline.org/give.
Now let's get into the teaching. If you'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, we dive into today's study with Pastor Skip.
Some of us have underlined in yellow key words in all your letters. And more than that, we have even committed to memory whole sentences and paragraphs of your letters. And I would say to you, that's wonderful that you've done that. But did you do what I wrote? And you say, do? Why would we have to do anything? You get my drift, right? I don't know what your view of discipleship is, but do you know what Jesus' view of discipleship is? He says what it is in verse 46 of chapter 6. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things which I say? So squad goal number one for Jesus is that you become a disciple, which means you radiate loyalty in listening, following, submitting to. Second squad goal, cultivate maturity. Go back to verse 13. I wonder if you notice this. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, followers, and from them he chose 12 whom he also named what? Apostles. Different designation. Disciples, you follow, you listen, you adhere, but now you are apostles. That's his designation. What's an apostle? You know, a lot of us don't really know. To us, we interchange those terms. You know, there's the 12 disciples, apostles, whatever. It's probably a synonym. I mean, they all sound alike. Disciple, apostle, epistle. One kid even said in school, an epistle is just a wife of an apostle. So what is an apostle? An apostle means a representative, one sent out to do a task. One sent out on a specific mission to do a specific task. In classical Greek, the word apostle meant a fleet of ships going on an expedition. Jesus takes disciples, learners, followers, and turns them into apostles, representatives, one sent on a task. To his disciples, he will say in John chapter 20, as the Father has sent me, so I also send you. That's his pattern. God's pattern is to take those who are saved and make them those who are sent. Right? Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. So followers of Messiah need to become fishers of men. Now listen, here's one reason why this is important. If you want your discipleship to be amped up to a new level, enter into apostleship. Enter into being sent. If you're just sort of experiencing a ho-hum, humdrum Christian experience, yeah, I go to church, yeah, I do my little thing. You want to see that taken into a turbocharged reality? Take the next step. Cultivate maturity. Be somebody who is sent out, because being sent out, an apostle, will save you from turning inward, getting closed off, and being secretive about your discipleship. It was William Barclay who said, discipleship kills secrecy. Or secrecy will kill discipleship. And if you want discipleship to be amped up and vibrant and growing, it's called apostleship. It's where you say, Lord, I take this calling seriously. I want to impact my world for your glory. I've told you about this for years, if you've been here for years. But I still have this book in a prominent position in my library at home. I bought it because of the title, not because I knew anything about it or the author, but the title is Why Churches Die. Now, every pastor would immediately want to buy that book. Why Churches Die. Hollis Green said churches die for a number of reasons, and he wrote chapters on it. Number one, when converts don't become disciples, that is, people who come into the church, they want to join the church, they don't really become disciples, followers. Number two, when disciples don't become apostles, they just cut short that natural flow toward maturity. Churches always have a danger of turning inward. Churches always have a danger. It's called the Bless Me Club. We turn into a Bless Me Club. You got an hour to bless me. Okay, I've been here 30 minutes. You haven't blessed me yet. That song didn't bless me. That message didn't bless me. Listen, I want you to be blessed. But church is way more than a Bless Me Club where all of the activities are solely for the enjoyment of members. It's been said well that the church is the only society that exists for the benefit of non-members. So followers must become fishers or else they will fizzle. It was a missionary who said churches that don't evangelize will eventually fossilize. Don't let it happen. Now let me say on behalf of these 12, best day of their life was the day they became apostles. Because up to that point, yeah, they had a good life, but their whole life was lived around a lake. It was 13 miles long by 7 miles wide, Sea of Galilee. That's all they knew. Okay, a trip to Jerusalem every now and then, taking a feast or two, but that was it. That's their whole existence. Now some of you are thinking, well, they got to fish every day. That's pretty good. That gets old real quick. Jesus would take them and send them out, and Peter will throw out the net and catch 3,000 souls on Pentecost in Jerusalem. He'll make it to Rome to bear the gospel. John will get sent to Ephesus and become a leader in Ephesus. He'll be exiled on Patmos. You go, that didn't sound like fun, but there in Patmos, he'll get a vision. It's called the Book of Revelation. Well, he will be transported into the future and see all that is going to come. Talk about an exciting life. It was an adventurous life. So radiate loyalty, cultivate maturity. Those are two squad goals. There's a third, celebrate variety. We have a list of names here. Some of them you're familiar with. But do you realize how different they are from each other? The variety in that group. I have a friend who wrote a book on leadership. And he said, PR experts, public relations experts, would say that Jesus made several mistakes in his ministry. And one of the mistakes he made, says my friend who wrote this book, was the team he picked. He didn't go to the best seminaries. He didn't go to the religious leadership at all in Israel. But he went down to Fisherman's Wharf in Galilee. And he picked a bunch of unknowns who smelled like dead fish. And he said, go change the world. And they did. But they had no social skills. They had no people skills. Right? You remember when Jesus was about to feed the 5,000 and all that crowd is gathering around him. And you know what the disciple said? Get him out of here. You want those guys on your team? Your team is saying, get him out of here. No, I came for them. Get them out of here. Or when the parents brought their children to Jesus to be blessed, and the disciples rebuked the parents for bringing the children. Now let's look at some of these people one by one, shall we? First on the list, Simon, whom he also named Peter. What do we know about Peter? Well, he was impulsive, for one, right? He wasn't the guy to let things happen. He's the guy to make things happen. And it got him in trouble. He was the guy who stepped up when Jesus announced that he was going to Jerusalem to die on a cross and be raised the third day. And Peter steps in and says, we're not going to let this happen, Jesus. You know, I'm the protector. Far be it from you, Lord. We're not going to let this happen. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking like God thinks. You're thinking like a man thinks. Peter was the guy who pulls his sword out in the Garden of Gethsemane and gets the ear off of the servant of the high priest. And Jesus says, put that back. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Peter was going for his head. He missed, got his ear. That's Peter, impulsive Peter. And Peter denies Jesus that he even knew Jesus. He's on the team. He's on the squad. Impulsive Peter. Look who else. And Andrew, his brother. Now, Andrew is a name that means manly. Manliness. He was the manly man. He's Peter's brother. He was once a disciple of John the Baptist. He was the first disciple of Jesus. But he was reluctant to trust God. When those people gathered to be fed by Jesus on that mountain, it was this guy who said, well, we have a few loaves and fish, but, listen to what he says, but, what are they among so many? He didn't believe anything good was going to come out of that. He's on the team. Put him on the team. He's on the squad. Look who's next. James and John. We're familiar with James and John. They were in a fishing business with their father Zebedee. They were known as the sons of Zebedee. Jesus gave them a nickname. Do you remember what it was? Sons of Thunder. I think that was an inside joke. Because these were the guys, when they were going through Samaria, and the Samaritans weren't too keen on accepting Jesus or his mission, it's James and John who said, and they were honest, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and nuke them? We'd love to just destroy them. They hated the Samaritans. You got two racists on Jesus' team. Bring them in. They're on the squad. James and John. Look who's next. Philip. Philip is mentioned. Philip, a great guy, but slow to comprehend spiritual truth and spiritual potential. Again, it's that scene of the feeding of the 5,000. The loaves and the fish are brought to Jesus. And Philip is the CPA of the group. He starts calculating. He's going, 10, 100 divided by 3 times. Hey, 200 denarii worth of bread. He had to count to come up with 200 denarii. 3/4 of a year of a man's wage is going to foot this bill. Well, that wouldn't even be enough to foot this bill. He's on the team. The guy who's reluctant, the guy who's kind of like, I'm a numbers guy, he's on the team. Look who's next. Bartholomew. Now that sounds apostolic. I am Saint Bartholomew. Bartholomew is also called Nathanael in the Bible, and he is the first to ditch the idea of Jesus as the Messiah. The first thing he hears and the first thing he says is negative. So Philip comes in and says, "We found the one who is the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." You know what Bart says? "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He's on the team. Put him on. What a motley crew we have so far. Look who's next. Matthew. What was he? Matthew was the tax collector. Worked for the Roman government. And did you know, in Jewish reckoning 2,000 years ago, murderers, robbers, and tax collectors were all classed together. The religious leaders say to the disciples, "Why does your master eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Matthew the tax collector. Next on the list is Thomas. Thomas was the doubter. He's the pessimist of the group. In fact, his name has become axiomatic for skepticism. We call somebody who doubts, what do we call him? A doubting Thomas, based on this guy. Thomas always saw the dark side of every situation. Give him a scenario, he'll see the bleakest side. So after Lazarus dies, Jesus says, "I'm going to Judea." And the disciples go, "Judea? They're trying to kill you down in Judea." Thomas says, "Let us go with him that we may die with him." What? You want this guy on your team? By the way, there's one on every team. There's always a Thomas on some team. Just sees the darkest, worst side of the situation. Next on the list, and I'm not going over everyone in depth, but James, the son of Alphaeus. Now, this is what's interesting. We don't really know much about him. We know his name, and we know his dad's name. He's the son of Alphaeus. But we don't know anything else, and I like that he's on the team, because he's sort of like a wallflower. He's silent. And I think every squad is filled with godly, good, wonderful, hardworking, but the silent types. They don't want to make a whole lot of motion, but they're there. And they're part of the team, and Jesus picks him. Notice who else is on this list. Simon called the Zealot. Simon called the Zealot. Did you realize that a zealot was a religious political party? Zelotes. Zealots hated foreign domination. They hated the fact that Rome was the overlord nation over them. And they had a pact. They swore to take every opportunity to assassinate Roman hierarchy if they had the opportunity. So I want you to think about this. On the same team, you got a zealot and a tax collector who were hated by the Jewish people. That's sort of like having somebody from the Israeli Defense Force and the head of Hamas on the same team. And all I can infer from this crazy group of guys is Jesus loves variety. He loves variety. And I start to understand what Paul meant when he said there are differences of operations, diversities of gifts, but it's the same body, it's the same Lord, it's the same Spirit who works all things together. We're different from one another. We're called by the same Lord, same purpose, same squad. And let me give you a little nugget of knowledge. God reserves the right to use people you don't like. People that you disagree with, people that hold a different position from you theologically, well, they're post-tribulationists. Really? I'm going to use them anyway. But they disagree with me and I hold all truth. Watch me. I'm going to use them anyway. He reserves the right to use people powerfully with whom you disagree. Celebrate variety. I'll close with this. Anticipate casualty. Last on the list is Judas Iscariot. Notice what it says. And Judas Iscariot, always named last, who also became a traitor. Now, I know, some of you are thinking, that's a goal? Casualty? No, the casualty isn't a goal. The anticipation is the goal. I want to ready you to not get surprised when you have attrition, when people fall away. Get used to the idea that there'll be a casualty or two. Even Jesus had that on his squad with Judas Iscariot. Now it says he became a traitor. We know he hung himself. But you know what? Judas was the guy that nobody suspected. They didn't think he'd be the traitor. They were surprised to find out he was the traitor. And that's after hanging out with him for a long time. That shows you you can be a hypocrite really well and go undetected for a long time. In fact, he was the guy that you thought, I want him on my team. Because he was the guy when that woman broke that alabaster flask of ointment and poured it on Jesus' feet. It was Judas who said, that ointment could have been sold for a lot of money and given to the poor. And we go, I want that guy on my team. He's going to save the organization a boatload of money. Yeah, you want to say he's hired. Jesus wants to say he's fired. Because John says he was a thief and he was using that money for himself. Anticipate casualty. Now, you know what Judas means? You know what the name means? Judas. It's a beautiful name. It means praise. Isn't that a great name? I'm going to name my son Praise. I want him to praise the Lord. Here's a guy who didn't live up to his name, and because of that, now no one wants his name. Have you ever met somebody named Judas? You never will. You won't meet a dog named Judas. It's last on the list of what to name anything or anyone. And can you imagine, here's a guy who was so close to Jesus, 3.5 years, heard the sermons, the parables, answering all those crazy questions, all the miracles he saw, and he's a traitor. Anticipate that not everyone on the squad is loyal and mature. Anticipate there will be spiritual casualties. And I will say one of the hardest things about ministry is to think of those who were once a part of us and walked with us and served the Lord who have turned away from even following Jesus at all. And if there's any comfort at all in Judas, and it's minimal comfort, it's the realization that even Jesus had a Judas on his squad. So anticipate casualty. Well, this is Jesus' team. You know, it sort of seems like he went out of his way to pick people nobody else would pick. Remember when they picked teams in school and there was always a few people left off? I was one of those people, by the way. I remember those days. I remember that feeling. Jesus would say, I want those guys. Yesterday I was looking at my high school annual. I pulled it down. It's really old. And I was looking at the year I graduated. I'm looking at all those pages where on one page it's the best dressed. Remember those pages? The best dressed. And there's this senior couple. The next one was most athletic. I wasn't on either of those pages, by the way. I was never best dressed. I was never most athletic. Turn the page. Most likely to succeed. I was not on that page. I wasn't on any of those categorical pages. But you know what? I'm in Jesus' annual. I'm in his book. I'm in the Lamb's book of life. And I love the fact that Jesus said, yeah, all those rejects, I want them for my team. Didn't Paul say, look at your calling, brethren. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. A few are. I like meeting him from time to time. But Jesus' team, well, he's got us. And you know what he says? Get along and go change the world. And I'll be with you. And I'll give you the power. Just be my squad.
Jesus calls us to be his disciples, then to go out and make more disciples. Are you following his call for your life? Well, here's Skip to tell you just how valuable your partnership is with The Connection.
At The Connection, we believe that anybody can come to Christ and receive the eternal life that he offers. We want to take that good news to as many places around the world as is possible.
And you can help us do that. With a one-time gift to The Connection, you can help us expand our outreach so that we can win more souls to Christ by His grace. Here's how you can take action.
Visit connectiononline.org/give or call 800-922-1888 to give a one-time or regular monthly gift today. Thank you for your support. Next time on The Connection, Skip challenges us to look past the hashtag YOLO mindset in our society.
I've done hundreds of funerals as a pastor. Hundreds. I've buried all sorts of people, including three of my own family members. I've watched people die. People do die differently because they do live differently.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.